We're going to devote a chunk of the show now to some very important Middle East history. Coming up, we're going to be speaking with the son of former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who has written a very revealing book on one of the most controversial and influential Israeli leaders in the history of the Jewish state, Ariel Sharon. Sharon is 83 years old. He lies in a coma since a series of strokes that were not necessarily thought to be serious in the early going, but eventually became life-threatening, and he lies in a coma today. It began back in 2005, but Ariel Sharon has been a part of Israel's history since he was a very young man. He burst into American consciousness, though, probably in 1982.
The battle for Beirut today centered on the city's international airport to the south, where the Israelis made their most significant advances since laying siege to Palestinian-held West Beirut.
It's an ABC News report on the 1982 Israeli invasion of Lebanon. It was a deep strike into its northern neighbor to surround and lay siege to the PLO in West Beirut. It was a lightning-fast raid of overwhelming force, brash and uncompromising, just like the man who led that raid and whose enormous bulk dominated pictures of the battlefield and haunted Lebanese civilians who witnessed his wrath firsthand. Ariel Sharon made it to Beirut in a matter of days. Getting out would be more difficult and more complicated. And here to remind us of the contradictions, the leadership and controversy that Ariel Sharon embodied nearly all the time he was on the world stage is Joel Greenberg, Jerusalem correspondent for The Washington Post. Joel, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
You have covered Sharon one way or another for all of your career. What was it like to follow a man who had so many just sort of powerful reputation for just being so powerful and also unpredictable?
Well, he was somebody that it was sometimes hard to divine exactly what he was getting at. He was very blunt. He was very clear, open in a public way about his aims. But many times people felt that he was working behind the scenes. For example, the Lebanon War was initially told to the Israeli public that it would be of limited extent, only a certain distance into Lebanon, and of course it carried much further and even reached Beirut, the capital. So Sharon was known for somebody who was very blunt and outspoken, but was also a mastermind at planning things way beyond what he publicly indicated he was about to do.
We're speaking with Joel Greenberg, longtime Jerusalem correspondent for The Washington Post. Joel, the 82 invasion of Lebanon was a triumph for him in the early going, but by the end, with the massacre at Sabra and Shatila, he was blamed for that. Just remind us of the circumstances, and I actually have a comment from Ariel Sharon speaking about that Sabra and Shatila incident.
Well, an Israeli commission that looked into that massacre found that Sharon bore personal, indirect but personal responsibility for that massacre, and that he didn't foresee and didn't plan for the possibility of a lethal response by Christian militiamen against Palestinians in those refugee camps. Basically, the Israeli commission found that Sharon should have taken all that into account before allowing these Christian militiamen into the Palestinian camps, and the commission recommended that he be removed from office. Prime Minister Menachem Begin did eventually, he was removed from the defense ministry but remained the cabinet minister. So in Israel, this was a stain over his head for a very long time until he managed to work his way back and actually become prime minister himself in later years.
And that path began with him admitting that it was a mistake. Here he is speaking about the massacres at Sabra and Shatila.
In retrospect, it was a mistake. Then we did not know anything. That we even did not think that could have happened. And if we would have known that could happen, we never let them in. And I was punished for that. And I paid for that.
And he did pay politically, but he was back on the scene in 2000 as a conservative, some would say ideological political leader who was stormed or led a demonstration on the Temple Mount, which began a period of violence in Israel. It maybe didn't cause it. What do you make of his rise again by the year 2000?
Well, that visit, I remember covering that, was an attempt really to score political points within his own Likud party. He was being challenged by the current Prime Minister Netanyahu at the time within the party. And he was making a challenge also to the government then, which was not Likud. And he wanted to make the point that Israeli Jews could go anywhere. This is the way he put it. But it was clearly a political message. And he said he brought a message of peace, I remember then, to reporters. But behind him, border policemen were being carried off on stretchers, and rocks and rubber-coated bullets were flying on the Temple Mount. That visit, under a very heavy police protection sparked clashes in the streets of Jerusalem. It spilled into West Bank and Ramallah, and later, as the violence spiraled, developed into the Palestinian uprising. It's hard to say, maybe draw a direct line, but certainly this visit was a trigger that it ignited tensions, and then this took on a life of its own.
And he became, as a result of the political fallout from all of that, prime minister in the 2001, and eventually presided over the handover of the Gaza territory. Here he is speaking about that in 2005.
We believe the day will come, and I hope it will be soon, that we'll be able to start peace negotiations. I believe that Jews and Arabs will be able to live together. And we, on one hand, are taking all the necessary steps against terror, and we will continue to defend our citizens. In the same time, we'll take all the necessary steps to move forward the political process, and I believe that they will come and we'll have peace.
As a military leader, we understand Ariel Sharon's legacy. As a politician, we understand it. As a peacemaker, what do you make of Ariel Sharon, who described the handover of Gaza as the most difficult decision he ever had to make, Joel Greenberg?
Well, it was certainly a big break with his past. He had always been a patron, a supporter of the Jewish settlement movement in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. So for his followers, this was a great shock, and the settlement movement itself. But it should be remembered that the Gaza withdrawal was not a peace agreement. It was a unilateral Israeli step done without consultation or negotiation with the Palestinians. So, yes, Sharon cut Israel's losses by removing Israeli soldiers and settlers from the Gaza Strip, but it didn't bring peace. As we all know, there were more rockets fired from Gaza at Israel. Israel responded. There was a war in Gaza a few years ago. So it didn't bring peace to that area. It wasn't peacemaking. It was more a matter of a strategic Israeli step to remove something that had become a liability and a drain on Israel, both militarily and politically.
In a sense, work undone. And we'll speak about what it is like to grow up with a man who is of such historical import in Israel. The son of Ariel Sharon joins us. Joel Greenberg, Jerusalem correspondent for The Washington Post, thanks so much.
Thank you.